Say with you, the prison of offense. I could have taken offense so many times. And I want to get into this, and we're going to minister to you. Many people need healing on this, because offense is what I call spiritual suicide, number one. Number two, offense is what puts a person in prison. Every week, listen, the gift that I'm operating in and where we used to travel, we don't travel so much anymore. We have live viewers, even right now. We have people from different countries that follows us, that sows into this ministry from other countries, because they might not even have a church. James is here flying in for the second weekend because there's not a church in those areas. So they live off the live streaming. And never underestimate the gift that is in this place. Are you guys with me? The worst thing that can happen is a congregation that can become familiar, and then the pastor no longer flows in the anointing, because the congregation becomes familiar and then the whole thing just dies. Because I am prophetic, I will be here to provoke and to stir, that people will become offended in their hearts, because offense is from God. You don't agree with that very much. Is this preaching bad? I don't feel an anointing on me, so I don't know, maybe I'm not anointed right now. But I'm telling you, listen. This year is the year of greatness. It is going to be your greatest year. You will see with this church what will happen, number one. Number two, you'll see the anointing. We are already limited in this church because of numbers. We cannot. Where do you find a church that will sit for 5 hours and listen to revelation? It is unique. Are you guys with me? With that comes a lot of jealousy. Okay. I have names being called week after week with people that I don't even know. They might have huge churches. And then I would hear it. I'm a devil. I'm a devil worshiper. This is your people that you follow on TV. Okay. I steal your money. I'm busy with fraud in the church. They called Jesus a con man. His family said these words. He must be out of his mind. So when they say that, I don't even take offense. I sit and I smile. And you know why? The Bible says that even those who desire to be godly will be persecuted. I don't always say my persecution from here because it's between me and God. But I just want to paint a little bit of a picture. And I'm going to show you. I just want to see if the individual is here. I really wanted to show them to you. Maybe they'll be here tonight. And I'll show you, there's someone sitting in our church that has taken me in while I was on the streets. He might not be here now. Sometimes he comes second service or the evening, and I'll show him to you. That while I was living on the streets, this man took me in. And I remember digging ditches just to survive. Digging ditches, offloading trucks. And that time I was saved. I was 19 years old, and the church hated me, because they didn't know what to do with somebody that is a prophet. That's the problem when it comes to pastors. They feel threatened. So I was digging ditches, washing dishes in this precious man's house, and he gave me a room to stay. And you know what? It was in Durban somewhere, and yet he's a member of our church now. And I've never even brought that out. And we'll show you testimonies. We'll show you testimonies. So many, I was listening, we were speaking about, Chris was speaking to me about testimonies, and we were looking at people's lives that are changed right from the beginning. Where's Lawrence? Lawrence, where's Lawrence? Is he here? Lawrence, I mean, remember the first time we planted the church, the first church we planted, then you, I think Chris got you saved that day or something, a week, or in that week or something, and he knew we were going to plant the church. He was young. He just came to my house with his car keys. He said, "There, I want to sell my car, sell it to get money in." And now you know, he's blessed. He's. Do you have another card? Okay. But he's blessed. But what I'm saying is, this is not, I'm not even asking for money here. Because the other testimonies that we'll show to you down the line is not about that. It's about whole other things from people that got healed. People that would have been dead if they were not here. And you will see what great work. Because sometimes we can forget what God has done. You know, and this is a move of God. So these people say they're going to make sure I will close down. I said, that's a fine. I said, that's okay. Anyone can close me down. The problem is, you must ask yourself, is this, did an angel speak to me or not? Because if he didn't, you're going to get into big. If he didn't, you can close me down. But if he did, you're going to be in trouble. God hates. There's six things God hates. And a seventh is an abomination to him. When a brother sows discord to another brother. Say with me, offense. So I could have taken offense. I had the opportunity. I had the opportunity all the time to take offense. Let me read a scripture. And we're not going to go many teach, although I got so much stuff. But we have to finish early that I can pray for you. Say with me again. Say the prison of offense. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Put a few on the screen. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come to, but woe to him through whom they do come. Just see, guys, if you can make the fonts a little bigger, if you can. But woe to him through whom they do come. It is, say with me, it is impossible. Jesus is saying, listen, he's giving you a prophecy here. He's saying, every believer, you will have offenses come to you. Do I have you awake with me this morning? Are you guys with me? I need you to hear this word, please. This word has the potential to save your life or to end your life when it comes as a Christian. Offenses will come to all of us. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a milestone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, let me just make this plain. When I said, I will offend you, I don't fall into this category. He's saying, we will offend these little ones. Speaking of a people that appear, the people I will offend is the religious. They are not the little ones. Are you guys with me? Jesus offended the religious all the time. Da-da-da. Verse 3. Take heed. Say with me, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you. The word take heed means, listen, take care of the garden of your heart. That's what it means. It means that I must, as a Christian, take responsibility and take heed of my heart so that offenses doesn't come in. Are you with me? Listen, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Listen here, the word offense, and I've explained this to you. It's the bait of Satan. It's what they used to dig a pit, put leaves over the pit, and they would put a piece of meat on the leaves or the covering of the pit. An animal would come and want to take the bait, and the trap was set. So offense means the bait of the trap itself. So it's speaking of a trap that'll cause you. That's exact words what it means in the Greek. And so it is the bait of Satan. Satan will put a bait in front of a person to take it, to take offense. You know what? Pastor Leon just walked past you and didn't greet you. Bait of Satan. And that thing is stored there in the heart. Do you know what? Leon doesn't return my call. Bait of Satan. You've taken the trap, the bait. A mature Christian never gets offended. Just excuse, I think that's the parking, guys. Mature Christians never get offended. Immature Christians, the soil of their heart is susceptible to offense. Are you guys with me? I'm going to go quick because I want to give you just two or three points. And I want to see how we can do it. Listen here. The Reader's Digest means this, or describes the word offense like this. They say it means to become angered, to be displeased, to be resentful, even to feel hurt, to excite or create anger, hurt feelings. And I mean, listen to this, to be displeasing or disagreeable all the time. You get certain people, they always disagree. It's coming from a root place of hurt. Are you with me? Okay. Say with me, take heed to ourselves. Listen here. When offense comes, it causes bitterness. Put on for me Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 15. I want you just to read this quickly, guys. Look at this verse. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Say with me, fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up to cause trouble. And by this, many has become defiled. Are you guys with me? Offense is the trap. Offense is the thing that will happen that will cause the grace of God to be cut short over your life. When there's offense, and listen, usually we only find out afterwards that we have taken offense. When I've taken offense, the grace of God lifts from my life like this. All of a sudden, I'm trying to come into church and lift up my hands in worship, and I don't feel His presence. All of a sudden, I'm going into my room to worship, and I don't feel His presence. All of a sudden, I feel I just don't want to come to church. I just feel I don't want to fellowship with believers. Offense. Say with me, offense. It's because we have not protected and guarded our heart. You know, He says, listen here, when we do this, many has become defiled. You know, you don't have to go there, but in the book of Corinthians, 3 verse 17, it says this, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which you are. And I'm not speaking of tattoos. It's amazing that the Bible never mentions tattoos under the law. And if you listen to that, then you're not allowed to wear certain clothing. You're not allowed to cut your hair like Matthew has cut his hair. Okay. So then you must take the whole law. So he says, listen here, the one who destroys the temple, God will destroy him. How do we destroy the temple? Say with me, bitterness, offense. There's two ways the temple of the Holy Ghost is destroyed, by offense and number two, false doctrine. I'm going to say it again. Number one, offense. And then number two, false doctrine. In the book of Matthew 24, when it's speaking of the end times, it says these words. It says, many will become offended towards the end days. They'll become offended by what the preachers say. God forbid he speaks about finances or sex or move and power. They'll become offended. And Jesus said, listen here, this is what's going to happen towards the last days. Then the next verse, he explains this. He says, then false prophets will arise and will deceive many. There's a process to this thing, which means offense actually causes us to go towards false doctrine. Offense will cause people to leave this church and go to some churches that makes my hair raise. And I'm thinking, how on the planet Earth can you submit to that? And I'm not saying if it is good. I'm saying really false doctrine. I'll call out false doctrine very quickly. Even though people say, I preach false doctrine. It has nowhere been found in my preaching. But listen, offense will even take us to a place of false doctrine. And it is those two things that defiles the temple. Are you guys with me? Let me read something here. And I have to skip a lot. Mark chapter number 6, verse 2. Just read with me, because I want to pray for you. Mark 6, verse 2. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, Jesus. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this with which is given that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter's son, James' brother, Joseph's little boy? But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house, because they'll see him as carpenter's little boy. You know, he says when a prophet goes out, there's more honor. Now he could do, because of that, he could do no mighty work there, God himself. And I always title this, the time and moment when God wasn't able to do miracles. Is this boring? Jeez, okay. I think maybe the offense is coming out and then we're going to minister to you. Could do no mighty work there except lay his hands just on a few people to get healed. Listen to this. Listen. Mark 11 verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Listen here, this is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the man who baptized him. And when Jesus came to be baptized, John the Baptist looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He was baptized, and John the Baptist saw the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost like a dove ascending upon him. Yet John the Baptist is in prison and is saying, my three disciples, just go spy on, some disciples, just go spy on Jesus and ask him if he is really the one. What? You have got an offender, John. And that offense, John, has put you into prison. And that offense, John, is taking you to a place where even your head will be cut off for King Herod. Are you guys with me? Offense cuts off believers' heads. John became jealous because Jesus' ministry was performing better than his. When people see promotion of others higher, they get jealous. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Mark chapter number 3 verse 20. And I'm going to get to a point now. I know I'm just reading scriptures to show you offense. Mark chapter number 3 verse 20. It says these words. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, of all these people following him, why are they here at the house? Why are these people here? Why are they serving? Why are you here 2 hours before the service starts or packing the chairs right? Why? And his family was beginning to ask these questions. And his family said this of him. They said, Jesus is out of his mind because he became on fire. Listen, this was the moment after his baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Ghost came upon his life with power. The result of power is persecution. I don't know if you guys are understanding me. Listen, if you've never had family or friends turn against you, you are not serving God really fully. And I'm saying this straight out. Are you guys with me? If you've never had family or friends come against you and saying, you know, you become judgmental. No. Then you still look like them, smell like them, smell like the world, and they can't really see a difference. But when Peter and John were preaching, the Bible says that when the Pharisees and the Sadducees looked at him, they said, what is this boldness with whom they're preaching? They must have spent some time with Jesus, meaning they must have rubbed their shoulders with Jesus, being in association because they cannot be quiet. Wherever they are, there's a boldness that is coming upon them, where they can preach and teach, and signs, wonders, and miracles are following. Are you guys with me? The church has become lukewarm, and the result is God vomiting them out. I'm not going to read the scripture. Let me explain the story quickly. Jesus heard that his best friend Lazarus died, or were on his way dying, and they called for him. And the Bible says when Jesus heard it, he still stayed another extra 2 days before going. And then when he went, Martha came and opened the door, and Mary stayed inside, refusing to meet him. And when she came, when Martha went and called Mary, she said, "What? Just come, he's here." They were best friends, you must understand. Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were best friends. Jesus, on purpose, with his best friend, says, "I am not following in with man's schedule. I'm following in with God's schedule." Why many pastors are burnt out is because they are falling for the needs of the people and not for the schedule of God. Are you guys with me? That's why we train our people that can minister to you and that can do it effectively. And you'll see in the next year what God will do with this church. Listen, then the Bible says that when Mary fell at his feet and said, "How could you have done this, Jesus? Why did you not come?" And the Bible says these words, quote and unquote, says Jesus groaned in the spirit, being upset. He was like, "Mary, you've been with me for so long and you still don't understand. You're still taking offense. Your heart is not pure." Are you guys with me? There are people sitting here, you have been hurt in churches before. Let it go. You have been hurt by pastors before. Let it go. Because when we hold on to it, we will always see through that lenses. God's lenses is not suspicion. His lenses is innocence. Are you guys with me? I want to get into a thing. Put on for me that thing on the stage, guys. That garden. I want to show you something. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Matthew 5 verse 21. And we'll close now. Then we're going to pray for you. And just tell the people, we'll be finished by 10, hey? They can have some coffee. I love God so much, you know. And the next few months, we're going to be ministering on how to fall in love with God. When I get into prayer, I cannot stop. It is not a religious thing. I literally cannot stop. I'll sit in my room, and the presence of God will be saturating on me for hours and hours and hours and hours. I want you to experience and to fall in love with Him. Because we have known all the principles, but we have not known a relationship. The whole thing of Christianity comes down to relationships. Are you guys with me? Relationship with God. If that's not right, this will not be right. It's a relationship. It's not whether I pray or whether I fast or whether I do. No. Whether I give. No. It's about, you know, and I was speaking to some people and I think I was speaking to Uncle Mike, and, you know, you have this thing out there where people will say, and many of you have been in those churches, they'll say, "There are 20 people, you must give 10,000 right now. And God will give you back so fold," and they promise. And then what happens is people get into a motive of doing that, and they don't see the return, and they turn against God because it's preached wrong. The Bible simply said, give and it shall be given to you. That's great. That's what we can within measure. But number two, it says, bring the tithes to the storehouse. Why? Because the windows of heaven, you'll have a blessed life. But you cannot, it's not a gambling machine where we say we give that much and we get that back much back out. That is already a motive in the heart that God sees and will already not bless. Are you guys with me? Listen. I need a couple that's married for like less than 2 years or 2 years. Say with me, prison of offense. I want to explain to you. I spoke to you now how offense can be taken in a spiritual way. I worked with Jesus in the scriptures. And now you can take offense with me. But I want to touch on the second point before we close. How this thing works with relationships. Husbands and wives or peer relationships. Are you guys with me? Enrico, come and stand here. You're in trouble. I'm telling you, we're going to do testimonies in this church on a video. You will be bawling your eyes out to see what God has done. Amen. So just keep standing here. This is the garden of your romance, your marriage, okay? Put on for me Matthew 5 verse 21. Matthew 5 verse 21. Listen to this, church. Are you guys with me? You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment also. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, I don't know what Raka means, but it sounds like a swear word, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, say with me, gift to the altar. It still says, bring your gift. It doesn't say, don't bring your gift, okay? Bring your gift to the altar. And then it even says, and then when you remember your brother has something against you, leave your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Agree with your adversary. Listen here. This is one of these principles in scripture. Even with business, these things can make you prosper. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hands you over to the officer. And you are being thrown into prison. So the prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Are you guys with me? Proverbs 4 verse 23. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Listen to this. Proverbs 4 verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Say with me, diligence. The word diligent means to scrutinize so carefully every area of our hearts. The word keep means to guard. Are you guys with me? The word keep means to put a garrison of army forces around your heart, lest anything comes into your heart. That is how you must protect your heart so that offense doesn't come in, because out of it flows forth the issues of life. Listen. There's a place where Jesus spoke of, and it was called Gehenna in the scripture that I was just reading. Gehenna. Gehenna is a place that we describe as hell. But Jesus is saying, he says, listen here, this thing happens in relationships. Are you guys with me? So now we have, well, let me say it like this. The enemy's agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy, but his tactic is offense. I'm going to say it again. The devil's agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy, but his tactic is defense. Offense. Meaning, the devil, now there's this beautiful couple married for a year, hold hands, that we can see. Now they're married. The devil will never come to Enrico and say, hi, I'm the devil. I want you to get away from your wife. His tactic is offense. So now they fight a little bit and they break up and there's a little bit of a distance. and the accusation of fences in the middle. Their hearts feel further away. His heart feels a bit hardened. Her heart feels a bit hardened. Now he can't say, I love you, these type of things. Now, goes back, they sort it out, they get back together. But now there's a problem that is happening. Are you guys with me? There's a problem that is happening where he might have been brought up, where his birthday gift, his parents would take him out for supper. She got brought up, waking up in bed, and gifts are coming to her bed, and people are singing happy birthday in the bed. People are from the morning already. Now they're married. So now they wake up and it's her birthday. He's like, hey, 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 happy birthday. And he leaves. But he's planning something for the evening. Are you guys with me? He's planning something for the evening. But she doesn't know it because she got brought up a different way. She takes offense. But it's small. She's like, I'm over it. Don't worry. I'm good. No, 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 no. The thing is what has happened. And I want to use this as an illustration. Okay? It might be rooted or filed in very deep. So the first thing happens. Now, he gets... Now, she begins to have a bit of an attitude towards him. He doesn't know why. Now, all of a sudden, there's no more sex. Maybe... once a month, geez, see, finances, sex. What was the other one? People are silent, silent, silent. Now, she has an attitude against him. But, you know, they're kind of like moving on. He likes to be with friends, and he's going to a friend, and he gets home 8 o'clock without telling her. But he's not evil. He didn't do anything really wrong. He just forgot. She thinks he's not loving me. And then that happens. Because now there's no sex life either. Now, he is not getting it in the bed. And now he thinks she's not loving him. Are you guys with me? Okay. And so it goes on. And it's one offense, small things that happens. Now, Talia sends an SMS to Enrico in Afrikaans. And I hate Afrikaans, so, and if SMSs doesn't work in Afrikaans, so she couldn't get her emotions through. Or she's English, he's Afrikaans, and the English person can't understand the SMS because it feels cutting. Are you guys with me? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then another thing comes up in the heart of Enrico, because now, or Talia, because now the SMS sounds so rude, yet... there's nothing really wrong. It's not, there's not a thing where they're hating one another. But the tactic is offense. Are you guys with me? So now this happens. Now all of a sudden she goes to her mother and asks for help. And the mother-in-law says, no, do this and this and that. And Enrico gets upset. He's like, but why is she not listening to me? I am the priest of the house. And offense gets up. And this thing gets built and built and built until it comes to a place. It's fine. I think it'll stand like that. It's fine. So until it comes to a place, come Enrico to the front. And you in the back. Comes to the place where there's now literally a prison of offense built up. Because now it's 20 years later or 10 years later. But she remembers the first time when something happened for the birthday in a bed. Are you guys with me? And never spoken about it, never forgiven, never got that seed out through confession. Because it's easy to get on your knees and say, God, I forgive them. It's easy. Difficult thing is to go to them and say, listen, I was hurt, but I want you to forgive me because I was hurt. Don't go arrogantly and say, you know, I forgive you. Christians do that. But anyway, and you go and you, but now there's a prison of offense built between them and they cannot get to one another. Their garden of romance is destroyed. Their hearts are distant. Now there's no more sex life even in the marriage. Now it's maybe once a year on his birthday. I don't know, okay? And this, listen to me. This thing happens. I used a marriage couple as an example, but it happens coming from churches also. Are you guys with me? You can have your seats. You can have your seats. Let's stand to our feet wherever you are. La rodoske itele vendre tena maya. Bredono muska itele bena maya. Zerana. I want to ask you, listen, and I want to minister to you personally right now. Because there are offenses that we have kept that has shaped our lives today. And it has made us the person, literally, that we did never wanted to become. It made us the person we judged, that we actually become like them. Or our parents that we have judged, that we become like them. Say with you the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. Offense. The Bible says, Jesus said, lay your burdens by me and I'll give you my light yoke. So you have a yoke of offense, but there's a lighter yoke he wants to put on you. And it is healing that comes. Listen here, I have been offended in my life. If I stayed offended, and I was only offended maybe once or twice, the one was very big. If I stayed in that place, there would be no church here. There would be no Martin here. Are you guys with me? I'm just using an example. Offense is the devil's tactic to bring unnecessary things. Transparency and openness is God's tactic. Just close your eyes wherever you are, wherever you are. If you're saying in this place and you're saying, Leon, I need prayer. I have been hurt or offended. As I said, offense is even a feeling of hurt. Something of the past that replays. Something that happened in the past and has now allowed us to change our perception. Maybe a preacher has preached and taken all your money. And now you don't want to give because of what that person has done. It's time to let go. Maybe a church gossiped about you. It's time to let that go. Husband, wife, other relationships, even with parents. It is time to let that go.